All right. Thank you for being in your place this morning. And we lost an hour of sleep last night. How many of you are tired? Don't you dare fall asleep, okay? Should have slept during Sunday school. That's why you come an hour early for that. So thank you for being here. I appreciate your faithfulness and just being in your place each and every Sunday, and been looking forward to this Sunday. And I want to keep your Bibles open to Numbers chapter 14. I want to go through something here I want us to notice. Have you ever noticed some people can cry at the drop of a hat for no reason whatsoever, right? By the way, if you have children, you see that. And but I remember years ago, we went to a youth conference up in Santa Clara, and this was in the early days of the internet when it was just coming out. It wasn't even Wi-Fi. You had to plug in. If you were a businessman at a hotel, you had to plug in to get the access to it, and it was really expensive. I remember those days. Well, we went up there, and some of our kids stayed in a hotel, and we were getting ready to check out, and one of the girls, I was the director, one of the girls came up and said, she had like a $60 bill for using the internet. Now, that was a lot more money back then. It's called inflation, but and she was crying like, I don't even have a laptop. I don't even know how to use this thing. And it's like, how do I pay that? And I'm like, we'll go to the hotel and we'll figure it out. But another one of our girls came and saw her crying. And the girl came over. She didn't even know what she was crying for. She came up to her and said, hey, stop crying. I'll cry for you. And she just started crying. I'm like, you don't even know what's going on. I'm like, but I'll cry for you. And instead of crying, go pay the bill for her. That's what she wants. But some people cry for no reason. Our children are like that, right? You ever ask them, they're crying like, what are you crying for? What are you crying about? Well, oh, by the way, then you give them the parents' line, right? Here's the parents' line. If you don't stop crying, what do we say? I'll give you something to cry about, okay? By the way, I was a child once. That wasn't very helpful. And it's not very helpful to your children either, but we still all say it. Well, we're going to look at a story where the people were overly emotional this morning. This story in Numbers shows the response of the Israelites to the negative report of the 10 spies. There were 12 spies that went out to spy the land. And you know the little song in Sunday school, I won't sing it because that would be very, very painful, right? 10 were bad and 2 were good. So I guess we don't know that song. But 10 were bad. Just like 10 of the lights are bad. Are we okay up there? Are you trying to make me look better? I don't think that's possible. Wait a minute. Photo shoot. Okay. Back to our regularly scheduled message. Thank you. And I want you to think of all the ways, as we look at the Israelite, that God had shown his power to them. He had shown his supernatural ability to take care of things. He released 10 plagues on the land of Egypt and judged Pharaoh. He protected the Israelites from the plagues. We actually looked at that a couple weeks ago. He led them and protected them with a pillar of fire by night and a cloud during the day. That actually told them where to go, as well as provided heat at night and shelter from the sun during the day. He parted the Red Sea so that they could go over into Canaan land. And then when the Egyptians tried to come after them, he closed the Red Sea and took care of their army. He provided for their needs as they journeyed. Whatever they needed, he took care of them. He spoke audibly to them. Now you would think, and all this within a few month period, you would think with all of the things that he did to show he was real, to show his power, you would think that they would have no problem listening to anything that he had to say and doing anything that he asked them to do. But they struggled with that. In chapter 13, God tells Moses to send 12 spies into the land. They go into the land to spy the land. We know that there was one from each tribe that went. All of these guys, and these guys weren't just, you know, nobodies. These were leaders among their each of the tribes. So they went out to scout they were not sent out to understand this. They were not sent out to spy out the possibility of having victory in the land, because God had already told them that was going to happen. They were just kind of get the lay of the land and figure things out, and also to bring proof of the fruits of the land that God had told them that they would get once they were there. And so so we look at Numbers chapter 13 and verse number 27. That's a couple verses back. And they told him and said, as they came back, "We came into the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it." So they come back and they're like, you know what? It's exactly like God said. It's a wonderful land. There's fruit and honey. They actually brought back some of the fruit to show that. And everything would have been good if they'd have stopped there. Look at verse 31. "But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched, unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight." Now, this is where our chapter begins after this horrible, horrible report. And we're going to see the results of this bad report. And by the way, that's not why they were sent into the land. God had already told them, like, you're going in the land, they're strong, but don't worry about it. I'm going to take care of this situation. You're going to win. You're going to have victory. Don't worry about it. But these guys came, and they went a whole different direction. And so after hearing all of this nonsense, all of this negativity, we come to chapter 14 and verse 1. "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. And the people wept that night." By the way, they didn't need to. Caleb, in chapter 13 and verse 30, Caleb says, Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." So they had the negative report, and they had Caleb and also Joshua, and Caleb didn't even listen to nonsense. He goes, "Time out. We can handle this. Don't worry about it. Let's just go. Let's go take care of this." But they chose to listen to the negative report. Even after their pity party, they were given encouragement. Look at verse 6 of chapter 14. "And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes." That was a sign of sorrow and repentance. "And they spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land, if the Lord delight in us." And by the way, he did. "He will bring us into this land and give it us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." These guys are like, come on. By the way, you know they faced a stronger army before that? Yep. Pharaoh's army. And they didn't have to lift a finger. Yep. They did nothing. They had no weapons. They were slaves. And God took care of them, and yet now, all of a sudden, these 10 guys come whining, these 10 guys come complaining, and all of a sudden, they forgot everything that happened before. We know the story. They didn't listen. They reacted to the evil report of the 10, and they ignored the encouragement of the 2. So what happened? They missed their opportunity. And they all, that were over 18 years of age, all of them spent 40 years walking through the wilderness, dying off one by one until they were all gone. 40 years of nothing, but it was really nothing more than a funeral procession. And their children got to go into the land. What is the point, Pastor? There's no reason for them to be crying. What are they crying about? They had no reason to be emotional. They were where they were at, and here's the deal, because they chose to be. They chose to be. Oh, but what about all? They chose to be. God already told them what was going to happen. God already told them how this was going to work, and yet they chose to ignore what God said. They chose to ignore the two spies who were on God's side and reminded them, and because of 10 people, they cried. And they made some really bad choices. What were some of the choices that caused them to have this? Let me give you a couple. First of all, I want you to see they chose sorrow over joy. You know, it should have been like, look at the fruit. Look at the, it is a land that flows with milk and honey. It is exactly like God described it to us. Let's go. Caleb was all in. Joshua was all in. But what did they do? They chose to ignore the good part and to have sorrow and listen to the bad part. This whole journey, which they had taken up until that time, should have been nothing but a journey of joy. Look, think of what they left. No more slavery. No more mistreatment. No more misery. No more waking up every morning thinking, I have no future. My children are born into this slavery. They have no future. That's all over. God brought them out of that. Think of where they were headed. This land of great fruitfulness. Finally, a place that is their place. Their place to call home. Nobody else telling them what to do. Just following God and experiencing their blessings. But you know what they chose? They chose to forsook that. To forsake that. They forsook all of the joy that laid ahead of them. And instead held on to the sorrow that they had, which was behind them. That's what we do. You see, God has made it really explicit in the Bible that if we're saved, if we're Christians, He wants us to have joy in life. That doesn't mean that we never have problems. I'm not saying that. But it means that no matter what's going on in our life, because we know Christ, because we know His Word, we can have joy. Have you ever thought of the difference that salvation has made in your life? You got saved. You know, you're no longer chained to your past. Thank God for that. You're no longer lost. We were lost in our sin. We're directionless. We're no longer unsure of our eternity. We are a new person in Christ. We don't have to be the old person. And by the way, some of us fall for that. Well, you know, this, I had these things that happened in my past, let them go. And I'm not saying that you may not have had some things in your past that were unpleasant, but can I just tell you something? If you choose to hold on to them, you are choosing that sorrow over what God wants to give us today, which is joy. Don't be chained back. You have a better future. It all comes down to a choice. What are you choosing to focus on? If we're going to focus on sorrow, we're going to be sorrowful. If we're going to focus on what God has ahead of us, which is joy and serving Christ, amen, we can have joy. Don't choose sorrow over joy. Next, don't choose criticism over following. Amen. Look at verse 2. Amen. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron. Like, you know, who do those guys think they are? Blah, 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 blah. By the way, do you know it wasn't Moses and Aaron that told them to go into the promised land? It was God. God just used them to help get them out of there. But you know how it is? Well, you know, listen, quit listening to critical people. Now, I'm not saying don't deal with reality. We got to deal with reality. Come on now. But, you know, people that murmur are people that murmur. Instead of following the path that God laid out for them. Whenever you choose this whiny type of life, you're choosing the negative over the positive. sorrow over joy, you know, someone's got to be to blame. It's always somebody else's fault. Now, I would very kindly say, grow up. Why? Look. Why would you allow excuses to keep you back in the past? Why would you allow excuses to keep you in negativity? I can't control what other people do, right? But I can control how I respond to them. And some people I have found, it's almost like they want to live this miserable life as long as they can blame somebody else. Don't fall for that. Because the only person you're hurting is yourself. Don't you want a better path? But quit listening to criticism. The complaining started, by the way, when they chose to listen to those who are critical. Have you ever met somebody they just got a good disposition? How many know I'm talking about? They're like, just when you're around them, they're always like, you know, and I don't mean we always have to be running around like, ooh, because life isn't like, I understand that. But I mean, they don't see everything from a negative. I like being around those kind of people. Now, I wish I was one. I can see the black dot on the white paper. I see it every time. You know, you come home, the house is clean, and there's one thing on the floor. It's like, hey! It's like, brother, I cleaned the whole house. Really? By the way, having children cured me of that, right? It's like, man, you know. But that's how we are. We have that kind of bent. But why don't we choose to not be so negative? You know, we hear something and it just ruins us. What are you listening to? Who are you listening to? Whoever you choose to listen to, you are choosing to allow them to influence you. It's like, you know, and I'll talk to people and sometimes sometimes there's reasons, but they're just overly negative and you try to throw some positive things out there, you know, and it's like, you know, it's like right over, like, all right, the plane's never going to land. But let's, by the way, if we're complaining, a complaining spirit is a sign of an ungrateful individual. And by the way, can I say this? There's always things to complain about. Come on now. I can walk around this building, I see all kinds of nice things, and I'm like, hey, how come that's there? Hey, that needs to be fixed. I'm just like, I can see those kind of things. Like, wait a minute, everything's good. Okay? Let's not have that whiny type of spirit. Don't be influenced. Sometimes we look at things, if we allow negative people to get to us, it's like we're looking at things through a blurred lens. How many know what I'm talking about? I heard a story, probably fictional, this old couple and this older lady, and they had a newer couple that moved in next door, and it's back, you know, these people that would always, like, you know, you put your laundry outside to dry. And so the old lady keeps looking at the new people hanging their clothes out and said, their clothes are dirty. How come, does that lady not know how to wash her clothes? And this went on for several days, and then one day the husband got tired of it, and then the wife got up and looked and said, hey, she finally got it right, her clothes are clean. And the husband said, no, this morning I went out and washed the window before you looked out. Okay, isn't that how it is? I mean, by the way, you know what bitterness does? And it's a word used in Hebrews. It's when we're bitter, it's like we're looking at life through a dirty window. And we see things not the way they are. We're looking at it through a dirty lens. That's how complaining people can be. And so let's be very careful who we're listening to. You know, we're having a great day. You know the story. Like someone said, you know, someone was over here and they were going to jump off a bridge. And someone ran up and said, wait a minute, don't jump off the bridge. Give me 5 minutes to talk to you. And the lady said, fine. And they talked for 5 minutes, and they both jumped off the bridge. You know how that is. All right, number three. They chose emotions over reality. Now listen to this. Come on now. Verse 2. Sometimes, do we hear ourselves speak? Are you with me? Have you ever said something, and like as soon as you said it, it's like, that's not true. Come on now. It's like, what was I? Okay, thank you. I guess I was, Joel, you and I are the only one, buddy. Look at verse 2. And the whole congregation said unto them, here we go, would God we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness. They didn't want that. That's emotion speaking. If they wanted to die in Egypt, they should have stayed. But they weren't speaking reality. They were speaking of their emotions. Now they were facing difficulties. So you know what they did? They looked back to Egypt, and when they did that, they had a really wrong reality about how it used to be. It's amazing. Emotions can make the present look far worse than the past. When your emotions are starting to go over the map, the best thing you can do is sit back and wait until your emotions are under control. So you can see the situation. I don't get a lot of this, but sometimes you get people that call and you're like, you know, hey, there's a little spat going on in our house. I need to talk to you right now. Let me just tell you something so I can help you. I'm not going to talk to you right now. You say, yeah, but they got a gun. Call the police. But you know why? You get in a little argument. Your emotions are out of control. It's like, call me tomorrow. Because you know what happens. You give it a little bit of time. Your emotions calm down, and it's like, how's everything going? We took care of it. I know. That's how we are. By the way, let me say this. Don't make a decision. Dinner, that's fine. But don't make a decision when your emotions are all over the map. That's how you're going to make a bad decision. Well, I'm just emotional, and I'm just going to do this. Okay, wait 24 hours. And you know what happens in 24 hours? Things clear up. They're saying some crazy stuff here. Okay, they didn't want to die. It's like Elijah, right? Elijah stands up to 850 false prophets. God takes care of all the false prophets miraculously. And then Jezebel says, I'm going to get you. And he runs and says, I want to die. Like, really? Emotions. Be very careful. Don't make bad decisions. You know, we here's what people say. Well, you know, I just had to do something. No, you didn't. Well, I was just feeling the pressure. By the way, you feel the pressure, back away. Well, it seemed like the best thing to do in the moment. Exactly. I remember that was probably 10 or 15 years ago. We were on vacation, and I won't say who it was, but my mother-in-law got a ticket, and She said, I'm going to go to court and fight it. I'm like, I'll go with you. You know, it's vacation. Well, you know, what are you going to do in the farm? I didn't want to plow. I'm like, I'll go with you. So we went. And it's like everybody was getting up. By the way, a bunch of speeding tickets, and they all said the same thing. Like, why were you speeding? I was tired. And finally, the judge said, what is wrong with you people? So you get tired, you just floor it? Okay. But this one guy got a ticket for not having car insurance. And they had given him an extension and said, go get car insurance. And he came to fight it. And the judge said, look, did you get the car insurance? And he's like, no. And he's like, ugh. He said, what do you want me to do? And the guy looked at the judge and said, just do what you got to do. And the judge looked at him and said, do you really want me to do that? And the guy goes, no, I don't want you to do that. But we say stupid things like that. Or, I'm sorry, ignorant things like that. You know, because and we don't mean it, but we say it in the sense of the moment. Don't let your emotions run you. Next, they chose lies over the truth. Verse 3. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Where did they get that from? You tell me. They got it from the spies. The spies were lying. Yes, these people are just like, whoa, they're going to kill us. We're doomed. And that's not true. It was a lie. By the way, our society is really good at perpetuating lies. We just believe whatever someone says. It's appalling. Our politicians can get up and say something. And I'm not trying to be political or mean here, but our president will just get up and flat out lie. Because we just forgot what he said. And you know what? People are so used to being lied to, everybody does it. Every politician does it. We'll just get up and like cover everything we did with a lie. No one will, look, in a spiritual sense, when we believe a lie, we're in big trouble. By the way, who's the greatest liar ever? Satan. How did he get Eve to eat the tree? Look, they had all kinds of trees in the Garden of Eden. And God said there's only one you can't eat. That's it. Now, it was probably like the non-keto tree. I don't know, the pizza tree. That would have been a tough one. Like, what? No pizza? Come on, Lord. But, and just one. And Satan was so good at lying and deceiving her, she ate from the one. But he used deceit. The Bible tells us about Satan. In John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. Boy, the way Jesus said that to somebody. I wouldn't say that, but Jesus said it, so there you go. He was a murderer from the beginning, speaking of Satan, and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. You know, people will just say things. And they'll say, by the way, if you're trying to be a Christian and serve the Lord, there are some people that may not understand Christianity. And they may say something, and they're not trying to be mean-spirited, but it's not true. That's why we need to know what the scripture says. Right? Right? We know the truth. A lie never gets by us. But let's choose God's truth over the lies. Whether we're lying to ourselves or somebody is. They chose, look at verse 3 again. They chose the past over the present. Verse 3. Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? Let me answer that for them. No! Uh-uh! It's not. Do you know what Egypt is a picture of in the Bible? It's a picture of our old life before we met Christ. What happens sometimes, if you've been a Christian for a while, if you're new into this, this may not be for you right now, but sometimes we've been a Christian for a while and we're tempted to look back to how it was before we were Christian. I can look back at my life before I served Christ. There was nothing good in it. Nothing good in it. I was a troubled, sinful high school dropout with nothing going on. Nothing. There was my old friends, except for the few that got saved, their lives are train wrecks. That's where I'd be. I'm not going to look back at my old life. Well, you remember the good parts? No, there weren't any. By the way, you do that. Can I just... With technology now, I wonder how my old girlfriend's doing. You're married, cowboy. She's probably, I was going to say something, I won't say it. She probably looks like you look when you walk by the mirror. You remember, it's funny. We'll have kids that, you know, that visit our church, whatever, and they come back after 15 years, right, and you haven't seen them. And in our mind, they should still look like they looked 15 years ago. It's like, man, look at you. And they're like, man, look at you. Right? Well, you know, she was really, hey, she was, yeah, okay. Well, no, you're not anymore. But we look to the past. Well, things were a lot better. No, it wasn't. They couldn't wait to get out of Egypt. Now look what they said in verse 4. And they said one to another, let us make a captain and return unto Egypt. That's crazy. By the way, can I just tell you something? Why don't you learn to be happy with the life that God's given you now? Why are we always looking for something else? I know, you married people all of a sudden want to act like you're single. You're not single. Well, you know, the single life was so much better. Let me just tell you right now, no, it wasn't. I'm glad to be married. I don't want to be single. Well, you know, before I had children, okay, I might buy into that one. Just kidding. You know, we want to have children, but we want to run and play around like we don't have children. Grow up. Same thing for you married people. Grow up. You have responsibility. If you're married, be a spouse. You're not single anymore. Well, my friends want to go this. Let them go do that. All right. Older people want to be younger. Look, if I come in here with a wig on next week, that's my problem. By the way, this is the easiest hairstyle to take care of. I just walk by the mirror in the morning, I look at it and say, nailed it again. By the way, people that have hair want to look like me, you know. All right. But come on. You get in your 50s and now, by the way, can I say that? You're in your 50s and like, well, you know, you're single for whatever reason. Like, I want to get married. You're trolling for some 20-year-old. Snap out of it. You're not all that. Okay? Okay. Quickly move on. But you know, we're never happy when we're not happy with where we're at in life. Just enjoy where you're at. You can't change the past. You can't go back to the past. All you have is today and your future. Just enjoy it. Just say, God, what do you got for me? Let's just do this. Number six. Now I got to hustle here. I'm about done. They chose rebellion over obedience. We know that. Only rebel ye not against the Lord. Okay? God had told them to go, but they, in all their emotion, we won't spend a time on that. But here's the last thing we're done. They chose fear over faith. Verse 9 says, the common sense is kicking in here, Joshua and Caleb. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Now, I get it. Okay, I'm getting on them, but I know God said you have the victory, but come on, if you're stepping up against a guy that's like 7'5" and he's got muscles in places you only dream of having muscles, you'd probably say, whoa. But you know, Goliath was like over 8 feet tall. David just took him out with a slingshot. I mean, David showed up to the fight, he was door dashing for his brothers. Dad said, bring lunch. Hey, who's this big mouth? I got this, right? But God had told them. And look, when it comes to living the Christian life, I got to be honest with you, there could be some fears. Like, man, this is all new. When I got into the Christian life, my life was all over the map. And I'm like, really? God said that? I'm like, I got some changes to make. And it was kind of like, but it's like, you know what? If God said it, let's just do it. I'm going to trust God enough to believe that if he says this is the best way to go, let's go. That's faith. Well, I want to do my own way. Let me give you a verse. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You man, these poor people, they had a prayer meeting. Would to God we had died in the wilderness. And God said, okay. And they did. Be careful what you ask for. What's the point here? They were crying. They were all emotional. Life was horrible. But it wasn't that bad. And you know what the sad thing is? Their children found out that it was all good. Oh, yeah. But they didn't. Because they missed out. Now, what are you allowing in your life that's bringing you this lack of joy, this negativity? And by the way, I'm not, if you're going through a situation, you're going through a problem, I'm not belittling you at all. I get it. We go through difficult times. I understand that. But I'd rather go through them with the Lord. I would rather stay on God's side. Like, Lord, I don't understand this. I don't like it, but I'm trusting you, and I know that you never leave me nor forsake me, and I'm here. And that's what God wants for us. Or we can go the other direction and get the negativity and all the things that happen. Let's bow our head and close our eyes for a minute if we may. Thank you for listening. I went a few minutes longer than I normally do. Appreciate you being on board with me. What's your life like today? How are things going? There's a better way. There always is. I don't know what you're facing or what you're going through, but can I just tell you something? You can get through it. You know, sometimes we just get tired in the journey, right? We've been walking with God. We've been serving God. And it's like, and Satan is really good at getting us confused. And maybe there's a bump in the road. And it's like, really, it is worth it. But you got to get past the bump. You got to trust God enough to keep going. Don't fall for it. Who are you listening to? Are you allowing some people to bring this negativity into your life? And I'm not saying be mean-spirited to people, but sometimes we have to have enough wisdom to say what they're saying isn't true. We have nothing to cry about. Nothing. And neither did they. And the only people that lost out because of it were them. Before we move forward, let me say this. The greatest thing you need to understand is where your eternal destiny is. We didn't talk much about it, but all the stuff I'm talking about is things God wants to do in the life of a Christian. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not even sure I'm a Christian. I don't even know what that means. Well, here's the question. Are you 100% for sure if you were to die today that you would go to heaven, or do you have any doubt at all? With nobody looking, with all of our heads bowed and our eyes closed, you say, you know, Pastor, that's me. I am not 100% for sure if I were to die, I'd go to heaven. I couldn't give you a biblical reason, but Pastor, that's something I'd like to know. Would you pray for me with nobody looking? If you just raise your hand, I'll see your hand. I'll pray for you. Anybody at all? Okay. Can we stand together this morning, please, for a minute? If God spoke to you about anything, why don't you come to this altar? Say, maybe God pointed out some things in your life. Say, you know, I need to work on this. Or I've been down. I need to have a little more faith in God. Why don't you come? Let's pray together. Oh, Father, we're thankful for your word and the encouragement that it gives us. It's so easy to get a negative attitude. We all struggle. We all fight that. It's so easy to get off of point. We're so easily influenced by people, although they may be well-meaning, that don't just understand the truth. I pray, Father, that you would help us to understand the greatness of the Christian life that you've given us. And Lord, give us the strength to follow you and have the faith to obey you. Bless these folks that came this morning. I pray you'd be with them. Help us as we go away today that we would be closer to you because we were here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing a verse here and then we'll be dismissed. If you're new today, I want to just thank you for being here. Make sure you go by and get your gift. If I didn't get to meet you, I'd like to meet you. We do have two people coming to join the church. Bill Bergman, where's Bill? Right here. And then also Kathy Wagner. Where are you at, Kathy? Did she step out? There's Kathy right down here. Let's thank them for joining. Make sure you go by and thank both of them here. I hope to see you back here tonight, 5 o'clock. Looking forward to a great service. We'll sing one verse and we'll be dismissed.
313 in our psalm books. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. 3, 1, 3. Let's sing it together on the chorus. I'm glad I know who Jesus is.